the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. As is my custom, I'd like to set the scene, and we're going to do that first thing this morning. John the Baptist has been arrested by King Herod. And Jesus and his disciples are trying to get away from the authorities before he too is arrested. Now they can't go north to Galilee by way of the Jordan Valley because Herod's henchmen would be looking for Jesus in that area. The alternative route takes them along the mountain ridge through the area of the Samaritans. The trek by foot takes about 3 days. They're midway through the second day of their journey. The disciples have gone into town to purchase some supplies. Jesus, being very tired, elects to stay back and rest. The town is Sychar, and the well where Jesus is resting is known as Jacob's Well, and it was probably the only potable water for miles. As Jesus rests by the well, a woman comes out of town carrying her water jar on her head. And as she prepares to draw water from the well, Jesus asks her for a drink to quench his thirst. Who is this woman? Well, first, she's a Samaritan. Now, no respectable Jew would have anything to do with a Samaritan, much less a Samaritan woman. Their utensils for eating and drinking are considered unclean. The gospel writer doesn't even give the woman the dignity of a name. Going to the well was usually a social occasion. People went for water, of course, but also to catch up on the latest gossip. There may have even been some flirting if there were some men present. And there was an adage some years ago that described a loser as one who has gone to the well once too often. Having had 5 husbands and living with a 6th man, the woman of the gospel could have been considered as having gone to the well once too often. She was wise in the ways of men and apparently adept at pleasing them. She may have had her own well-founded suspicions about this odd man and what he was looking for. Why else would a lone Jewish man be chatting with a Samaritan woman? Why would he ask for a drink from her very unclean bucket? There's a sense of banter in their conversation. Jesus asked a question. The woman shot back another question. Jesus spoke to her of living water. She took him to mean running water, not well water. But the well was the only local source of water. So what on earth was he talking about? And Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I will give will never thirst. And the woman responded, in effect, terrific. Now I don't have to be thirsty and I don't have to keep coming here to schlep water home. He said, she said. Little by little, conversation becomes conversion. Consider these 2 words for a moment. Conversation and conversion. They have a common Latin root, convertere. That is to turn around. The prefix con means to come together. And normally we think of conversation as an exchange of ideas between 2 or more people. We had a wonderful conversation all day yesterday at the vestry retreat. Very good time we had. Conversation demands a certain amount of back and forth interplay, a turning together, or it stops becoming a conversation. Conversion also means to turn around, to go in the opposite direction.
We tend to think of it, of conversion experience, as an individual experience, as a person turning towards God and becoming open to God's gifts of faith and grace.
The woman at the well came to the knowledge of God as an individual. Or did she? Do we?
Conversion means not the act of a lone individual, but rather the interaction between the individual and God on the very deepest level.
Jesus turned to the woman first. It doesn't matter that she was a Samaritan, a woman, unclean, to be shunned. It doesn't matter what her past and present flaws are. Jesus knew who she was and what she was, and that didn't matter. Humanly thirsty, he asked for water and struck up a conversation. In that conversation, they revealed more and more who they really were. They danced together, recognizing the truth in each other. She's a woman who knows the Samaritan tradition and is in touch with the Jewish tradition. She's aware of the laws and institutions of the two groups of people. She is honest and capable of responding openly to the questions presented to her. She's a risk taker and is willing to dialogue with Jesus. He didn't lecture or berate her or shame her. He simply accepted her for who she was and where she was. And his acceptance made her conversion possible. The woman's first reaction was to go running through the town, saying, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've done." Could he be the Messiah? Well, the community already knew everything she had done. But who was this stranger? Many came to believe first on her word, and then because they heard for themselves. Jesus spent 2 days with them. Unheard of for a Jew to stay 2 days in a Samaritan village. We are often like the Samaritan woman. We are so driven by our work and our competitiveness in society that we lose intimacy. We don't know how to relate to others. We don't know how to love, so we become involved in various relationships that do not bring us the love and the intimacy that we're looking for. We don't establish good friendships, and therefore we become nameless and faceless. When we become workaholics, and I've been one, we don't associate well with other people. We, like the Samaritan woman, come to the well in the middle of the day so that we can avoid other people. We're defensive, and we don't want to open up to anyone. However, Jesus shows us that he loves us unconditionally and asks us to view things in a totally new light. Once we have that intimacy with the Lord, then we have a new vision where we share his love with others. The gospel values of Jesus become the norm, and we become the focused and the centered. Then we begin to evangelize. Nasty word. We begin to evangelize so that others will want to know about the love that we have with Jesus Christ. A song by Charles Fox, made popular by Roberta Flack, and I'm not going to sing, parallels the gospel story as it might take place today. I want you to listen to this. "And there he was, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his song, with his words.
killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. We turn to God because God has turned toward us. We accept God because God accepts us with all of our flaws. We come to believe in God because God believes in us, believe it or not. God knows all about us, and he loves us anyway. So, why aren't we running through the streets telling the people how much God loves us?